Good morning. Good morning. Oh, yeah. Good morning. We'll get this show on the road, I guess. We'll start with some announcements this morning. Before I read what announcements I have, which aren't any, does anybody out here have an announcement? Oh, Bobby Frohner, come right up here.
Okay, as you all know, we're having a garage sale in a couple weeks. This coming Wednesday, we're opening up the church from 8 to noon for you to bring your goodies in. And I will be here each Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8 till noon. And the next week we start again. I'll be here in the morning. The sale is on Thursday and Friday. Now, on Friday, we're done at 5. But I need all hands on deck to get that room cleaned up and ready for Carol Martina to come in and decorate. So she has a function on Saturday, and she would really like to get it done on Friday. So that means we need to get the tables back in order, all the chairs back out, everything packed up and sort of out of the room. So I'd really appreciate all the help I could get from, well, next Wednesday right on through till next Friday, okay? Thanks a lot.
One announcement I do have. The trustees, we were scheduled to have a meeting Tuesday night, but we're going to postpone that meeting. And if there's anything urgent that comes up, of course, I can always get you from text or phone. Check the announcements on the back of the bulletin. And just to reiterate, the spring garage sale, it's Friday, the May 16 and 17 in Wesley Hall. Come ready to donate, to shop, and to talk, and to witness to others. Let's see, birthdays this morning, or this week, I should say. We have three: Stephanie Wilkinson, Michael Moore, and Vera Nichols. Are there any other birthdays this coming week? Well, let's all sing happy birthday. I will just kind of make a comment. It looks to me like Michael Moore has three of the tallest young women in his family. That they just keep getting taller every week. It's like, oh my gosh. It's really nice. Anniversaries. This week is Bill and Shelby File, who were attending and then they moved to Marlette, and Larry and Mary Vandywalker. Is there any other anniversaries? Okay, let's sing happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
One announcement that I do have is we circulated a card last week congratulating and honoring Gayla Eagle on her many years of service as our treasurer. And if somebody's here that didn't get a chance to sign the card, Deb Darling has it.
I would like to sign it.
Oh, Pastor. So poor Shell will give it to you. It's the rain. That's what's confusing me. Oh, my goodness. And the dandelions. That's what it is. It happens. And it could be because I'm 73. I don't know. You figure it out. But anyway, happy to see everybody that's here. There's a few new faces, and that's always encouraging and uplifting. And thank you for attending with us today. Let's see. We've got 5 minutes. Oh, Deb. Deb, I know your name. Come on up here. Good. Well, we'll get started, and with the lighting of the candles today, we have Olivia and Ariana. So quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for the service today as the girls come and light the candles. Thank you, ladies, for lighting the candles. And I just want to draw attention to our wonderful choir sitting here that's been singing for us every Sunday almost during those months. And they're going to be taking a little break for the summer, as it's well deserved. But thank you so much for giving us this music. Stand and sing our first praise song today, Step by Step, on page 3004 in the booklet. Thank you. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning messages. My name is Karen Pettis, and I'm your worship leader this morning. Melissa Odgen is the pianist, and our acolytes were Olivia and Ariana. We'll do the call to worship. And please follow in the bold print. Sing to our God a new song. For God has done wondrous things. The Holy One's might is not found in destruction, but in steadfast love and constant faithfulness. These gifts are not for us alone. They are for one and all. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into songs of praise. Let all creation praise the Lord.
Let's pray. God of love, let your Holy Spirit come upon us into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls. Let your presence speak within us in the languages we speak, in the ways we live and have our being. For we long to hear you, gracious one, and to understand. We pray that you would abide in us, that we might abide in you this day and all days. Amen.
Let's remain standing and sing our opening hymn, number 145, Morning Has Broken.
We can have our children come up, our children and young adults. Well, good morning. How are you this morning? Good. Are you all wide awake, ready to go? Yeah? Yeah, no, some yes, some no. I get it. Well, we're glad that you're here anyway. We're always glad for our young people of our congregation. I brought something this morning that I walk by every day at the parsonage. I probably walk by it 25 times, so I always hope that I will remember this. And it says, what does it say? You can read it to me. Do not let your heart be troubled. John 14:1. I don't know if you can see that. That's pretty small up there. Do not let your heart be troubled. It's a message that God gives us in the Bible, isn't it? He tells us to not be troubled, but also what this says to me is to trust him. Trust is a very precious thing, isn't it? because once we lose trust in someone or they lose trust in us, it's hard to get that back, isn't it? But we trust in somebody like Jesus that will never let us down. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to steer us wrong. Sometimes in our humanness, we don't ever know the future, but sometimes we make decisions and then things change, right? And then we have to, go to plan B. Sometimes we have to go to another plan, don't we? But you know what? God never makes a mistake. He never says, "Oh, I'm going to go back on that. I don't agree with that anymore. I don't believe that. I believe that you should be doing this." God knows right off the bat. He knows our futures. He knows our past. He knows what jobs we're going to have when we are of that age where we get jobs. He knows where we're going to be this afternoon. He knows who we're going to call on the telephone, or he knows every single thing about us. And no matter what decisions we make or what happens in our day, he never forgets about us. He never leaves us. He never leaves us wondering. Well, sometimes we do wonder because we don't always understand, but we trust, right? Did you ever, especially when you were very little, did you hold your mom's hand or your dad's hand when you went across the street? And you trusted exactly that they knew when was the safe time to take the step off the sidewalk, right? Sometimes we probably didn't even pay attention. We just trusted that the hand we had our hand in was going to take us in a safe path, in a safe way. And that's how we are with the Lord. We put our hand in his, and even though we don't know what's ahead of us always, we know that he's never going to put us into harm's way. He is never going to lead us astray. A lot of times he always lets us make our own choices. So we're supposed to make good choices, right? The best choices we can. And how is that? How do we do that? By trusting in Jesus, right? By trusting in him and talking to him and praying and asking for direction and asking for help. But we always trust that his way is the right way, right? That's why you got those beautiful new Bibles months back that you get to use, and you get to put those words in your head so that when you need them the most, they are going to come back and you're going to be reminded of those good words that you read and memorized, and that you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. You put your hand in his and let him guide your life all the days of your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each one of these young people. We pray that you will guide them in your paths, that you will give them joy-filled, fruit-filled, loving, happy lives, and that you will guide every single step that they make. Lord, they love you, and we love you, and we know that you love them more. So we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to be with all of us here today, and especially these young people as they learn and grow. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, kids.
The Old Testament reading today is from the book of Psalms, Psalms 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his and his faithfulness to Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for the Lord with joy, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. And may God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
This is our time that we go before the Lord in prayer. The altar is always open. You're welcome to use the altar rail or even the front pew if it's hard to kneel. If you'd like to come up closer, feel welcome to do that. We have unspoken needs this morning, maybe some as well that are listening in on the radio. Let's bow together as God's people. Thank you, Lord, for your unending mercy and grace this morning, for the day that you've made. We pray, Lord, that we'll recognize and remember that you are bigger than the world, bigger than any of our fears or anything else that comes in our path. We are grateful for the immensity of your love. Lord, even when we can't even compare it to the way we know love, we know that yours is unconditional and unending. And we thank you for that and reminding us of that every day. Remind us every day, Lord, that you'll always find us, you'll always hold us. Your heart is big enough to hold the whole world. Teach us once more that we'll always grow when we love others as we love you. Lord, no matter what the day holds, whatever is down our path, we are grateful that we can seek you and you're right there. You always hear us. You always know what we need. And Lord, you provide the strength when we need the strength, the encouragement when we need encouraging. And we thank you, Lord, that we can trust you with everything and anything. That you'll never go back on your word, that you'll never go back on a promise, that you'll never lead us astray. Thank you, Lord, for wanting the best for us and for the abundant life that you offer. We pray for your strength today. We pray for you to touch each person that's here, every family that's represented, including all of those listening in at this time. Lord, we ask you to touch them where they are today. Give them an embrace in whatever it is they're striving for, whatever it is that they need. Thank you, Lord, for years of faithfulness that so many here in this congregation have extended so willingly and graciously to this church and this community. We pray that you will minister to us this day through your holy word and through your messages, through song, through hymns, through the choir anthem, and Lord, Let us feel your Holy Spirit here in this place. And let us be connected to you. Let us put our hand in your hand as you guide us through. And we give you thanks, Lord, as we remember the prayer that you taught the disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. The New Testament reading today is found in your Bibles, John 15, starting with verse 9 through 17. John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my commandment. Love each other. The word of God for the people of God. Trust can be a hard thing. It's easy to tell someone just to trust, it's going to be okay. But it's harder to actually do it when it's you. And I think we've talked about that on many occasions. But God this morning invites us to trust him, to surrender all of our worries, all of our doubts and fears into his capable hands. This is the hard part. It involves a conscious choice to rely on God's wisdom and guidance rather than leaning on our own limited understanding. It's a conscious choice whether or not to trust. And that's why I shared this with the kids this morning. Do not let your heart be troubled, because I need that constant reminder. I need it every single time I walk by. I need to be reminded, and no matter how I know that in my head, it's a learned habit, isn't it? It's a learned thing. And we have to learn more and more to trust in him and to believe in him. I'll give you an example this morning, and maybe some of you have heard this story before from me. And I have other stories as well, and so do you, I know, of trusting in the Lord and calling upon his name when we need to call upon his name. I remember one of the most fear-filled moments of my life. I had been to the doctor, and they were going to do a lumpectomy because there was a lump that needed to be removed, so it didn't turn into something else. And so I went in and had this lumpectomy, and they told me that everything looked good and that I would have my follow-up and my stitches out and so on in a week. And I came back in a week. My friend was with me. And when I came in, she came in following us, and she said, I really don't want to have to tell you this, but we found cancer. And she said a lot of things after that, and it was kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher. It was like blah, 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 blah. Everything after that was like, it was gone. I was totally and completely shocked. I had been told everything looked okay. And unbeknownst to doctors or myself, it was not okay. And I proceeded, they told me that I would have to go back in. Margins were not clean. They needed to go back in and clean out around so that they would get all of it before I would start treatments. And so I was very, very, very nervous. I remember even the night I came home from hearing that I had this diagnosis, I remember just trembling. I remember just trembling. It was horrifying for me. I hadn't had any family members that had particularly gone through that. There wasn't any family history of that in any way. And yet, here I am. Here I was. But as I was going back into the hospital to have the margins cleaned out, I remember that everything was delayed a little bit, and I was just laying there thinking, I wish you would put me out because my brain is just going crazy here. But I remember laying there thinking, I am supposed to be calm. I am supposed to not fear. I am supposed to put my hand in the Lord's and trust Him. And it was not an easy thing to do. And I'm thinking, what do I tell everybody is just to trust. And here I am, not trusting, I don't think at all. And I thought, I also was told from a very dear friend of mine, a colleague in ministry, that when you didn't know what to pray, just to pray Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because when you call upon His name, it's powerful. It's powerful, and it's strong, and it's intense, and He knows our needs before we even ask. So I found myself laying there on this gurney, kind of in a hallway, waiting for them to take me actually into the operating room, and I remember the nurses kept coming up saying, oh, your nails are beautiful. Your hair looks so good. You know, they were trying to distract me and trying to say things that would get my mind off of this delay. And I remember when she walked away thinking, I don't even care if I have fingernails. You know, they're giving, you know, trying to give me these compliments. And I was lost. I just felt lost. And then I remembered to just say the name of Jesus because I didn't know what to ask for. And I just said the name of Jesus. I kept saying the name of Jesus. And I laid my head back on the pillow. And pretty soon it was time, you know, to go in. And they did what they needed to do. And I went home. After a period of time, went home, and I had to wait, as we all do when you have a biopsy or when you have anything like that. You have to wait to make sure they were going to come back and say, we, you know, got the margins cleaned. And 2 days before I was to go back, I have to go back a little bit. Before they even did this cleaning out, before I was even taken to the operating room, 2 days before that, they had it scheduled. I went to bed at night and went to sleep and had this dream. I don't know if you want to call it a dream or a vision. I never had anything like that before, ever.
And I didn't even tell Hollis. I didn't tell anybody. But I wrote it all out. I typed it all out. And I called my colleague that I had worked with for many years. And the one that I shared his wisdom a few minutes ago, where he just said, if you don't know what to pray, pray Jesus. Pray the name of Jesus. And I had this vision when I was sleeping, this dream about the scar where they had done this surgery the first time. It was closing up before my eyes. The scar was disappearing. And over where the scar was, had been, there was ashes. And this vision, Jesus was here. He wasn't in front of me. He was here. And he leaned over and blew the ashes away. And he said in my ear, get back to work. And I had no idea what that meant. And you even question, is this real? Am I crazy? You know, is this real? What does this mean? So I go in and I'm praying the name of Jesus, and then I'm supposed to go back to get results. Well, 2 days after that, I got a phone call at the church during the day, and it came into my secretary, and she called me up to the office. She said, you've got a phone call here. And the doctor was on the phone, and she was in tears. And she said to me, I don't even know what we went back in there for. There was no cancer in anything we took out. And I immediately knew what that vision had meant. She had all the pathology tests proving that there was no clear margins. And Jesus took care of it. And I could go into another whole thing about, I don't understand why that happened for me and not other people always. Or some of my friends that were going through similar before me that were helping me ended up passing on. I don't understand. There's things in your life you don't understand either. Why did it happen that way? But trusting in the King is what we're supposed to do. He blessed me with that experience, even though, oh my goodness, it didn't feel like a blessing at the time. He blessed me with that experience so that I could share with you today to just put your faith and trust in him. And even though it makes no sense sometimes, to us, it makes a great deal of sense in the kingdom of God. It makes a great deal of sense to our Lord and Savior. And as much as I didn't know how to trust, I think. I don't think I knew how to trust. Just by praying the name of Jesus, he knew what I needed. And he told me to get back to work, so, you know, I had to get back to work. And that's what I did. I don't think I missed a Sunday. I don't think I missed anything, really. So what a blessing was that. And then, you know, 5 years later, I ended up with cancer again, but not in the same spot, not even the same kind of cancer. And you know what? We did it again, but you know what? The second time I thought, you know what? God's not going to bring me this far, leave me going at this point. He's not going to leave me out there flopping in the wind at this point either. No matter what happens, he's got my back. He's got your back. He knows what you need, and he says, just trust me. Just trust me. I will get you through it. Some of the best testimonies of my ministry have been people that said, either way, I'm good. If I make it, I'm good, because I know he's got more work for me here. And if I don't make it, guess what? I get to be with Jesus and other family and loved ones and friends. Either way, I'm good. A pastor friend of mine that was actually, he was in ICU, and he was going to be going in for open heart surgery. And he goes, either way, I'm okay. I just know that. No, I'm okay. So yeah, we're going to pray. We're going to keep praying that God's will is done, that God takes care of whatever it is needs to be fixed in my heart. I've had other testimonies of other people praying over a lady, and maybe I've shared this with you before too, that they called me in and said, she really wants you to pray. Her family wants you to pray. She's unresponsive. She has a brain bleed that we keep monitoring, but it's getting worse. She already had some diagnosis that would, you know, lead to major health problems to start with. And then she's got this brain bleed. They said, if you would just pray over her, it would be comforting for the family. So I got there and I went out in the lobby. There was the whole lobby was full of family. We circled around and prayed with the doctor, actually. And then the doctor said, would you just go back and, you know, go ahead. This is a good time for you to go back. And I went back and prayed over this lady. I didn't know if she could even hear me. I touched her arm and we prayed. And I came back out and the doctor changed places with me. He went back. The doctor, she was a lovely lady. And he had tears in his eyes, actually. For what was happening, you don't see that very often. Usually they're pretty stoic. And he went back, and I don't think he was back there 3 or 4 minutes, and he came bursting back through into the waiting room. And he said, forget everything I just told you. He said, she has made, I don't know what happened, but she's made a drastic turnaround in these last 10 minutes. And he said, I don't know what's going to happen down the road, but he said, don't give up. Don't give up just yet. And she recovered, came home, and I think she probably lived 3 or 4 more years. And she was, you know, up there in age to start with. God changed that moment for that lady and that entire family. When we looked at her and thought, this is the end, God said, oh, no, it's not. He said, oh, no, it's not. Put your hand in mine and trust me. There's more work to be done. Trust me. Just a couple of stories of trust, and you have your own stories. If I were to ask you to come up and share, you have your own stories of the way that you've had to trust the Lord through the worst moments of your life, the scariest times. And I can say to you a million times, trust in the Lord. And you're going to say, okay, Pastor. But when the day comes that you have to pull that out and say, yeah, I got to pull that out today because I need that trust today. I need to trust in him because the doctors don't always know. Other people you get advice from don't always know. Think about Job for just a minute and the advice he was getting from his closest, dearest friends. God has your back. He's got you. And no matter what you face, put your hand in his. It's as simple as that. Put your hand in his. Call upon his name. How do we trust in the Lord to handle it all? Trust that even your most minute desire or worry, that he's got it handled and he wants to hear from you. I've heard many people over the years say, I should have prayed about that, but, it was kind of trivial compared to all the things God has to manage. Why do I bother God with that? And, he wants to know. Just like your very best friend, they want to know. They don't care how silly it might seem when you say it out loud. I had a lady call me on Monday, I think. Not from here. But I had a lady call me, and she said, "Pastor, I need help." She said, "Do you know how hard that is for me to say?" She said, "And you know, we're not supposed to be prideful." She said, "I think that's the most prideful thing I could have done was to not ask for help, but to think for some reason that I could do this on my own." Over the years, she's been a faithful Sunday school teacher, faithful junior church leader. She's just worked with the kids. She's got a gentle spirit. I remember her coming to me at different times saying, "I don't know what's going on, but I know I need to pray for you." She said, "I just feel like I need to be lifting you up." Just a wonderful, wonderful person. Tiffany lost her first baby, my daughter Tiffany. And it was very unexpected. And I remember this lady coming up to me after church one Sunday saying, "I pray every day for Tiffany. I pray every day for her that in the right time they will be blessed with the children that God wants them to have." She is a God-fearing, pray everybody up person. And she's calling asking for help. And so I had a couple of connections that I made phone calls, and somebody stepped up to the plate to be there for her and the needs that she was having right now in her life. But the point I'm trying to make is that she recognized that to not ask is prideful. To not let the Lord help us in our time of need and to not share with him our needs, that's kind of being prideful, thinking that we can do it on our own. God wants us to give it to him, to lay it at his feet. How do we trust the Lord to handle it all? We just give it to him. We give it to him in prayer. And then when we walk away, we do not pick it back up again and walk back out with it. Because as sure as anything, the minute you step out the doors, Satan is going to be whispering in your other ear saying, "But what about this? It's not resolved yet. It's not taken care of yet. What about this? What about that?" And here we are, we got it on our backs again. We're carrying that heavy load, thinking there's some way we can make it different. But we are equipped with somebody that can make it different and that can give us the wisdom to know what and when and how to do whatever is called to be done. And if all you do remember is to say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," or "do not let your heart be troubled," if that's all you remember, remember that. Maybe put up reminders for yourself in your house. I know people that have put little sticky notes on their bathroom mirror. So maybe that's the first place they go in the morning or get cleaned up to leave for work or whatever your day brings. Put a little sticky note, a reminder that the Lord is with you. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In all the ways that you need him, let him direct your path. Let us pray. Gracious God, I pray for these elements that we'll be partaking of in just a few moments. Bless them, Lord, and make them be the body and blood of Christ redeemed because of what you did for us, Lord. May we remember that as we partake of these, the bread and the wine. Thank you, Jesus, for your unending love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Our choir anthem is Break the Bread. The bread that represents the body of Christ today. When you take and eat of this, remember what Christ has given for you. in the cup that represents the blood that was shed. Remember today that his shed blood has cleansed us of all of our sins, that when we repent of those sins, they are forgiven as if they never existed. Remember what the Lord has done. The altar is open. Everyone is welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church or any other. We welcome you to come to the Lord's table. You're invited to the Lord's table.
there anyone else that needs or would like to be served at their seat? Raise your hand if there is. Thank you. We can have our ushers at this time come forward for our gifts and tithes. Oh God, our hearts sing with thanksgiving for the many gifts and graces that you bring to our lives. We give you thanks for your steadfast love and faithful spirit. Receive this offering now in the gift of our whole selves, that we might give as we have received and love as we have been loved. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn now is 337, Only Trust Him. Thank you.
people of God, abide in God's love. May God's love and faithfulness flow through you even to the ends of the earth. Amen and amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie. Amen and amen. Join fellowship time. Everyone is welcome. Have a wonderful week.